Welcome back to the D-Lord NBA podcast presented by CLNS Media, the leading online provider of audio and video content. I am your host, Devin Lord, and today is your show for Tuesday, October 23rd. Now, we had a total of 9 games to go over last night. Very quickly go into the only transaction that actually happened. It looks like the move from the Chicago Bulls to officially waive Amir Sheik is almost finally completed. Now, they will be signing point guard Shaquille Harris for the rest of the season. And it looks like they will actually be waiving and stretching Amir Sheik's contract out. It looked like initially they were going to just straight out waive him, but they will be waiving him and then stretching them out with the stretch provision. They will be signing, of course, Shaquille Harrison, like I said, and that deal is going to be a minimum of $250,000 guaranteed, this season, then $175,000 guaranteed next season. That is the deal that Shaquille Harrison is going to be getting from the Chicago Bulls. So you get some additional help in that backcourt. You get another point guard there. You weren't going to use Amir Sheik. He's always injury riddled anyway. I think it's a pretty solid signing for the Chicago Bulls. Now, like I said, there was a total of 9 games. The first one we're going to start off with, of course, the San Antonio Spurs defeating the Los Angeles Lakers in overtime, 143-142. Now, the Spurs came out to a great start to start this game off, scoring 40 points in the first quarter, and they had an 18-point lead at one point in this ball game. The Lakers did fight back, a great effort, especially by Kyle Kuzma. 37 points, 8 rebounds, 3 assists for Kyle Kuzma, who did get the start because, of course, Brandon Ingram, he is suspended for 4 games. So Kyle Kuzma got the start in his place, and he played more of his natural position. Now, if you're not subscribed to our YouTube channel, make sure you go ahead and do that at DLordNBA on YouTube. Made a video explaining why I like Kyle Kuzma starting because it does revert him back to his natural position. As of right now, as to this point before yesterday, Kyle Kuzma was serving as the backup center to JaVale McGee. Now, Kuzma, he can play a little bit of center, but you don't want Kuzma out there playing center against a lot of these guys, especially in the Western Conference. Kyle Kuzma is 6'9", 220, but he's going against some pretty tough competition. Who knows what they're doing down low in the post? Kyle Kuzma, I just don't think is the player that you want there consistently. He could do it against certain lineups, and he could do it for about 2 or 3 minute stretches. But the amount of minutes he was playing at the center position, I did not like it at all. Kyle Kuzma yesterday, he went back to his 3/power forward position, and he looked very, very good at the position. He's most comfortable there. He looked great. LeBron James, he had 32 points, 14 assists, 8 rebounds. Those points, a little deceiving. I believe he only had 4 points at halftime. Did not shoot the ball. Really didn't shoot the ball that great and didn't shoot the ball that frequently until late in the ball game. Caldwell Pope, yes, he got the start, but he only had 4 points. I think it's time that you have to start Josh Hart over Kentavious Caldwell Pope. I know you might want Hart to bring that energy off of the bench, but Caldwell Pope, it looks like it could be a mental thing now when it comes to the shooting slump. Hasn't been shooting good at all, and he's just really been looking out of place and not very good in this roster. Josh Hart, he played 39 minutes, had 20 points, 10 rebounds, and assists, was 4-for-7 from the three-point line. I think Josh Hart just needs to start, and you just bring Lance Stephenson off of the bench because I think those two have been playing better than Caldwell Pope. Lonzo Ball, he got the start in place of Rajon Rondo, who's also suspended. 14 points, 10 of those points in the first half, 3-of-7 from the three-point line. So the fact that he is shooting these threes and he knocked down a big one late in the game, shooting them with confidence, I like this Lonzo Ball. He also contributed 6 rebounds and 6 assists. JaVale McGee, he did his thing, 16 points, 8 rebounds in 28 minutes of play. JaVale McGee has a huge impact, but yesterday he got into a lot of foul trouble early, eventually got fouled out in overtime, and that could have changed the way this game played out. JaVale McGee, I like him, but the pace the Lakers play at, you need to have a backup big It seems like they can't really find one until yeah, yesterday. So when JaVale McGee went into foul trouble, they brought in Zubac and he played absolutely terrible. He played 5 minutes, had 0 points, one rebound, and had five fouls. So basically a foul per minute. Did not play good. They had to take him out. Then they had to insert Jonathan Williams. Now he is still undersized at 6'9". 228, still not the ideal center that you want, but yesterday he played very, very well in limited minutes off the bench. He did not even get into the game until the second half, ended up playing 14 minutes, had 8 points, four rebounds, and three blocks. He also had those four fouls because everybody was fouling LaMarcus Aldridge last night. Whether you agree with it or not, a lot of them were ticky-tack foul calls, but LaMarcus Aldridge, he shot 18 free throws. He had 37 points, 10 rebounds. He stayed at the free throw line. DeMar DeRozan, he also had 32 points for the San Antonio Spurs. But the main takeaway really wasn't the Spurs. It was the fact the Lakers fought back, how good Kyle Kuzma looked back at his natural position. LeBron James came down, hit a game-tying three at the end of regulation that sent it to overtime. But then in overtime, LeBron James up one, got fouled, went to the free throw line, and missed not one, but two free throws. Right away, that's going to cause a pretty much an uproar in the Lakers community because LeBron James has a lot of expectations. You've seen Kobe Bryant from the years. He always knocks down these free throws. LeBron James, though, notoriously known as a decent free throw shooter. He's going to shoot between 73-75%. So you don't expect him to knock down all the shots. But LeBron James held onto the ball. He wanted to take those shots. And he took the shots. He missed both of them. And then at the end of regulation, after Patty Mills knocked down the shot that gave the Spurs the lead, LeBron James came, took a step back jumper from mid-range, and he missed that shot at the buzzer. So it wasn't the best finish for LeBron, but I'm not really hard on him too much for those shots. His shots just weren't falling. He was 11 for 25, 2 of 8 from the three-point line. Yes, those free throws were huge because up until that point, he was 8 for 9 from the free throw line. He did choke. That was not the time to miss those shots, but I liked what I seen from the Lakers regardless. And although it is three losses, they've been competitive in every single loss. And you look at who they lost to, the Lakers are a good team. I think they will eventually figure this thing out. But you are in the Western Conference where you don't have a lot of time to sit back and try to figure this thing out. That is the only issue for LA. I thought they looked good. I thought Kyle Kuzma looked fantastic. I think he needs to keep playing at this position. The Lakers just need to go ahead and get themselves another backup big. Of course, we will see what Mo Wagner, the first-round pick, could do once he finally comes back from injury, whenever that may be. But until then, the Lakers just need another backup big. Maybe they can use Jonathan Williams in the meantime, but they need to put Kyle Kuzma back in the wing, back where he's naturally gifted at, being able to score the basketball, doesn't have to pound down low all the time. That's what I think Kuzma needs to go back to because he looked great last night. And Lonzo Ball, he's been looking better and better. Hopefully he can continue to improve as well. And if he keeps playing like this, then of course people are going to start asking, maybe should Lonzo get back into the starting lineup. Now, another big game that happened that kind of blew over after the Lakers game, but by the way, it was probably one of the best regular season games I've seen in a while. The Boston Celtics lost to the Orlando Magic 93-90. The Boston Celtics are now sitting with a 2-2 record, the team that almost unanimously was voted as the best team in the Eastern Conference before the year started, and they are off to a shaky start. Kyrie Irving hasn't been off to the greatest start, but yesterday it was Jason Tatum who struggled. 0 for 5 from the three-point line, 3 of 12 shooting, had just 7 points. Jaylen Brown, 1 for 4 from the three-point line, 2 of 9 shooting, had just 5 points in the game. You're seeing the struggles from Boston. Kyrie Irving had 22, 8 rebounds, 5 assists. He only knocked down 2 of 8 three-pointers. Just from the 3, they were 9 for 40. as a team, shot just 22%. But the Orlando Magic didn't shoot that much better at 10 for 35. So that didn't eliminate them from the game, as both teams really weren't knocking down a lot of their threes. But when you look at Boston, something just seems off currently about what they are doing. Terry Rozier, he struggled shooting. Marcus Smart, he came in and gave you valuable minutes, what he typically does. But other than that, really nobody stepped up. Al Horford, probably the most consistent shooter last night, but even he was 5 of 13 shooting. So for Boston, I don't think it's time to panic at all. I think they will figure this thing out. But they're not looking like the runaway best team in the Eastern Conference that we thought that they would be. We thought it would be Boston. We thought it would be the 76ers, of course. But the team that's looking like the best team in the Eastern Conference is the next team we're going to talk about. That is the Toronto Raptors. They end up winning 127-106 against the Charlotte Hornets, who have been playing better than expected so far this season. However, for the Toronto Raptors, you look at this game, Kemba Walker, he still had 26 points. Kemba Walker doing what he does. The Toronto Raptors are a team that I will still favor the Boston Celtics in the playoffs if they played each other, but they have been looking good. Kawhi Leonard, he had 22. He had 4-3. Kyle Lowry, though, has 16-14. That is definitely a stat line that you want to have. Valanciunas, we know he's an offensive presence down low when he does get into the game. Still not starting, but end up playing 20 minutes. And in those 20 minutes, he had 17 points and 10 rebounds. 7 of 8 shooting. He looked good. If you could get that production consistently coming off the bench for Valanciunas, the Raptors are going to be very, very hard to beat. Danny Green, he hit 4 of 6 from the 3-point line, contributed 16 points, had 6 rebounds, played defense. He did what you want him to do as well. This Raptors team still trying to figure each other out, but they're looking very, very good and very, very scary in the Eastern Conference. The Milwaukee Bucks, they end up defeating the New York Knicks 124-113. We pretty much knew the outcome of this game before it even started. Of course, for the New York Knicks, they're just a team that's still struggling, playing better than some people did anticipate, but they're still struggling. Tim Hardaway Jr., he led the way with 24 points. No Kevin Knox. He's out with that injury still. Ennis Cantor had another double-double. He's going to average a double-double all season. Mario Hezonja finally showed up a little bit. He had 18 points off the bench, but really just too much from the Bucks. Giannis Antetokounmpo, 31-15-4. He had a great game. Chris Middleton, he contributed 30 points as well. Then Eric Bledsoe, he had 16 points and 13 assists. So the Milwaukee Bucks have been looking pretty good as well in that Eastern Conference. The Minnesota Timberwolves, to my surprise, defeated the Indiana Pacers 101-91. I did expect the Pacers would come out and bounce back with a victory. That did not happen. Played a very, very solid game up until the fourth quarter where they could not buy a basket. The Timberwolves end up winning this one by 10 points. Andrew Wiggins got suffered an injury. We'll see how serious it is. Probably some point today at the latest tomorrow, we'll see how serious that Andrew Wiggins injury was. Only played a total of 8 minutes, but Derrick Rose stepped up with him out. Derrick Rose logged in 27 minutes, had 11 points, 5 assists. You guys know how I feel about Derrick Rose. I think as long as he gets the opportunity, Derrick Rose can still average 15 points. Up to 18 points a game this season. Karl-Anthony Towns has somewhat of a breakout-ish game. 17 points, 14 rebounds. He did have a little bit more, play a little bit more of a factor in this one. But Jimmy Butler, clearly still the man for the Timberwolves. He had 20-3, but plus-minus was +7. Made a lot of plays on the defense side of the basketball as well. Jimmy Butler played 37 minutes. He is still clearly the guy for Minnesota. The Dallas Mavericks defeated the Chicago Bulls 115-109. The Bulls are going to fall to 0-3. The Dallas Mavericks 2-1 on the season. When you take a look at them, Wesley Matthews had 20 points, but Luka Doncic he's been looking very, very solid, especially as a rookie. He had 19 points last night, 6 assists, 3 rebounds. Luka Doncic is going to be He's for real. He's going to be a guy, especially as he gets into the flow of things a little bit better. He's going to be close to average in almost a triple-double every single game in some point over the next few years. DeAndre Jordan had 18 points and 16 rebounds for DeAndre Jordan. And really nobody could get things going except for Zach LaVine and Jabari Parker for the Chicago Bulls. Everybody else struggled. Zach LaVine, he finished with 34 points. Jabari Parker looked good off the bench. He had 20 points. I believe he had 16 to 17 of those in the first half. Looking at the next game, it was the Memphis Grizzlies against the Utah Jazz. The Grizzlies end up winning this one 92 to 84. Another shocker out here. I thought for sure Utah was going to win, but they, for whatever reason, just laid an egg. Oldie scored 84 points. Oldie had 17 points in that third quarter. It was definitely a defensive game for the Grizzlies. They started Jaren Jackson Jr., the rookie. He had 11 and 7. Marc Gasol had 18 and 13. Mike Conley led the way with 23 points. As for Utah, like I said, they struggled. Donovan Mitchell had 14 points, only 6 of 17 shooting, only 1 of 7 from the 3-point line. Rudy Gobert had 11 and 12, and then Jay Crowder had 15 points. But other than that, there was really nothing from this team. Garrison Allen had 7 points. He was 2 of 2 shooting. I think he should get a little bit more minutes moving forward. But Utah really just laid an egg in this one. No big indication here. I think they just had a bad day. But they're 1 and 2. And like I said, in this Western Conference, you don't want to drop games, especially when other teams are kind of dropping games. You want to get as big of a lead as possible, because I say seeds 6 through 11 are going to be very, very tight in this Western Conference. The Washington Wizards end up winning against the Portland Trailblazers 125 to 124. I picked the Trailblazers in this one, but the Wizards, they look good. They're very inconsistent. You don't know what you're going to get from Washington in any given night. They could play like a team. They could play independently and not look that great. But yesterday, they looked very good. Bradley Beal, he had 25 points. Markieff Morris, he's the one who hit the dagger. He had 28 points in this one, 9 rebounds. John Wall, 16 and 9. And then off the bench, Kelly Oubre had 22 points. For Portland, Damian Lillard had 29, but CJ McCollum definitely struggled shooting the basketball. Lillard didn't look that much better, but McCollum could not buy a basket. Finished with 13 points, 1 of 9 from the 3-point line, 5 of 25 in the game, and only shot 2 free throws. So could not buy a basket. But the fact that McCollum wasn't there, the Trailblazers still went in overtime, held their own in this one. That's definitely still a good sign for Portland. And then the final game was the Warriors against the Phoenix Suns. Golden State ended up getting back in the victory column, 123 to 103. Only scored 17 points here in the fourth quarter, but they just overpowered them in this one. Golden State just too good of a team for a young Phoenix Suns team who I think are a few years from truly competing. They are a good team. Just didn't have it in this one. Devin Booker had 28 points in this game. 27 from TJ Warren off of the bench. And then DeAndre Ayton had 20 and 14. DeAndre Ayton, he is for real. Played 31 minutes. Had a very solid game. But just too much from Golden State. 29 points from Stephen Curry. Struggled a little bit shooting, but got his rhythm late. 6 of 13 from the 3-point line. KD had 22 points. Klay Thompson still struggling shooting the basketball from 3. He had 16. Only 1 of 6 today from the 3-point line. So he still struggled, but eventually I think Klay Thompson will get into his rhythm. As for tonight, we only have 3 games. We have the Philadelphia 76ers starting things off at 7 p.m. Eastern on NBA TV, taking on the Detroit Pistons. The Pistons, surprisingly undefeated team, but I do think the Philadelphia 76ers will go down to Detroit and they will come away with that victory. You have the LA Clippers taking on the New Orleans Pelicans at 8 o'clock Eastern time. I think the Pelicans are going to win this one. I thought the Pelicans would struggle early in the season, but this front court is really dominating other teams, and I think they may do the same tonight against the LA Clippers. In the final game at 9 o'clock Eastern, the Sacramento Kings taking on the Denver Nuggets. The Denver Nuggets off a win against Golden State. Think they come away with another victory against a young Sacramento Kings team. Still trying to find their footing, but I think the Nuggets run away with this one. They end up dominating in this game. But that is everything that we have for today's episode. If you'd like to stay connected, make sure you go ahead and follow me on Twitter at DLloydTV. That is DLLOYDTV. If you want to stay up to date on all the latest news, transactions, rumors around the National Basketball Association, make sure you go ahead and subscribe to our YouTube channel at DLloydNBA. Still trying to make that push for 30,000 subscribers. It was great talking to you today. I definitely look forward, and we will be back to talk to you tomorrow. See you then. Peace.